Well, I guess we have some type of technical glitches that I'm facing right now. I'm not sure. Huh, we're having the music again.
Rumors spreading around.
Nisha, can you hear me?
About to check outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you want to go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm right there.
Well, that's the Internet Radio 101, people. There's all kinds of things that can happen. Everything can happen. And it just, we're going along, having a wonderful conversation. And then all of a sudden, I think, I was like, can anyone hear me? Hello? Well, anywho, we're going to just marshal on. We're not going to let that stuff bother us. We're not going to let it get us down. We're going to keep going through this. We have a wonderful guest. I can't wait to get her take on a lot of different things. I am joined by my partner in crime, Nisha, and we're going to have a wonderful show. And that's it. Thanks to everyone that's listening to Drive Through HR today, letting us invade your ear hole. And without any further ado, Leela, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, William. I am doing wonderfully well. Thanks for having me on the show.
We are really excited about having you on the show. So do us a favor, do the audience a favor, and introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So my name is Leela Srinivasan, and I'm the Director of Marketing for LinkedIn Talent Solutions. I've been at LinkedIn for a little over 4 years now, and these days I spend most of my time obsessing about the recruitment industry, what's working for recruiting leaders, best practices, success stories, tips and tricks, as well as looking at a lot of the data and the insights that we're fortunate to have here at LinkedIn to better understand overall trends, both on the recruiting side and also among the candidates that you're looking to recruit. So it's my world is basically all recruiting that just now, and also marketing, because increasingly those worlds are mashing up a little bit.
Yeah, in a good way, right?
I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's really there's a lot to be learned, I think, from either side to the other, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, the worlds are – what's really great is those worlds are really coming together, and there's a lot of sharing. Recruiters are learning a lot from marketers. I think marketers are learning a lot from recruiters. And, they all kind of co-own the brand. In some ways, recruiters have a lot to say in what goes on in employer brand, obviously, and so do marketers. So it's kind of a wonderful world that we all live in. What's top of mind for you these days?
Well, other than my 3 kids under 5 who are frequently top of mind, on the professional side, I would say something that's top of mind for me is I guess elevating great recruiting and stamping out bad recruiting. We just completed some research that I'm excited to share some details with you today, actually, on what goes on inside the mind of the professional workforce. And it's clear there's a lot of opportunity for recruiters to reach out and connect with folks that may be the right talent to transform their organizations. The catch is candidates really want relevancy, and they want you, when you're reaching out, to be building a relationship and not being transactional. And, obviously at LinkedIn we provide folks with access to the talent that they're looking to get in touch with, but no amount of access is going to overcome just poor outreach and transactional, sort of, hey, do you want a job with that sort of thing. So if I think about things keeping me up at night, certainly it's how can we help the industry to really get the best out of our platform and to be ultimately better recruiters and the types of talent acquisition teams that really succeed in engaging the types of talent they want to bring on board.
Wonderful. That is such a great start. So let's talk a little bit about, how can organizations elevate these great recruiting practices all across?
Yeah, so I think it starts by really understanding the candidate. The research that's coming out Wednesday is a report that we've written called Talent Trends 2014. And we surveyed over 18,000 professionals in 26 countries around the world to better understand how they think about themselves, and are they in the job search or not? Are they satisfied with their careers? How do they generally maintain and manage their careers, even when they're not looking, that sort of thing? And it, you know, so I think there are two levels to understanding candidate. There's on the macro level, what do you know about specific populations of candidates, generally speaking, and then how do you engage with the individual candidate to get to know them better? How do you make note of every conversation so that the richness of that conversation is captured somewhere? So when you're contacting them, you know, two or three touches from now, or referring them to a hiring manager, that hiring manager gets that information as well. So again, they're able to tailor the conversation and make it super relevant for that specific candidate.
That's great, Leela. And I want you to, I mean, we want you to talk a little bit more about that candidate experience as you were stressing, you know, engaging the candidates. How do you want the recruiters should respond to these candidates in order to provide a better candidate experience?
Well, I mean, you know, going back to what William and I were talking about earlier, I mean, I think there's a lot of parallel to be drawn between marketing and recruitment these days. So in marketing, we're moving towards this world of what we call content marketing, where as much as 60 to 70% of the buyer's journey is already done by the time somebody picks up a phone and calls a salesperson, or by the time they click on a website to buy. So in other words, people are becoming more and more informed in advance about the companies, in this case, so if we switch this analogy over to recruitment, people are doing a lot more research up front. We're in this new era of transparency, where it is possible to know so much more about the opportunities that are available to you, about the team that you could potentially join, about the hiring manager, about the company and its culture. There's just a smorgasbord of information out there, right? And so it feels like today candidates do a lot of, and when I say candidates, I'm talking about passive and active, because there's never been more opportunity to start branding and positioning your company and your team in front of passive candidates who aren't yet looking, but are actually open to conversation. And so basically there's lots and lots of opportunity to kind of lay the groundwork for, you know, the moment at which there is an actual opportunity that fits that candidate. And so it's really thinking holistically across the candidate journey to, you know, every touch point, whether it's on LinkedIn or any other platform, to think about, you know, what sort of perception is the candidate building of your organization at that moment in time. And that perception is built on everything from the official company presence, you know, through career sites, through, you know, company page and career page on LinkedIn, through Facebook page, whatever properties they maintain to do the branding, but also through interaction with team profiles on LinkedIn, for instance. I mean, most organizations have a much bigger footprint on LinkedIn through their employee base than any official presence that they maintain. And so I think these days the onus and the opportunity really lies with talent acquisition leaders and their marketing buddies to help their organizations basically utilize platforms like LinkedIn better to tell the story of the organization. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed. I want to dive more into that content marketing strategies, but before we get to that, mm-hmm. as we started talking more about recruitment, I have this key question that is a little bit of a confusion everywhere when we talk to different organizations. We have this recruitment marketing, employer branding strategies, plus content marketing. These three buckets, who owns this three buckets in an organization?
Oh, it's the age-old ownership debate, right? We've done some research on this, and I don't know if I can recall the exact stats off the top of my head, but something like 61%, I think, of talent acquisition leaders that we surveyed last year said that they either own talent brand or employer brand outright, or they share it with another team like marketing. And so basically, in the majority of instances, talent acquisition and HR should play a significant role in branding and making sure that their organization is positioned as a great place to work. Now, the flip side is, therefore, you know, 39% almost don't necessarily play a key part. The rest either said that they were playing a bit part, or that their company didn't think about branding at all, which is, in this day and age, I think is unforgivable. So I do think that there is an onus and an opportunity for talent acquisition leaders everywhere to get involved in this, because it's such a huge factor for candidates making the decision. In our survey, in fact, I think, let me just find the stat, I think it was 56% of the professionals that we surveyed said that the most important factor of the ones we asked about in considering a new job was that the company has a reputation as a great place to work. And we know, you know, from other research that we've done, that 83 or 84% of talent acquisition leaders globally know that talent brand has a significant impact on their ability to hire. It's also a huge driver of lessening cost per hire and reducing turnover. So overall, it feels like TalentBrand has such a huge part to play in the success or failure of talent acquisition teams globally that you really can't afford to be out of that conversation. But I also think that, you know, TA doesn't necessarily always have the expertise required to build and promote a great talent brand. And so the best organizations that we see, best in class, the example I continually use is Oricon, based in Australia. We have an ongoing dialogue with their chief marketing officer, Danielle Bond, who, you know, she's a marketer, but she works hand in hand with her human capital team to make sure that the brand is developed properly, that all the right channels are leveraged, that it really is something that's developed with the partnership of her talent acquisition and HR folks.
Hey, that's a great example, and I need more. So you sit at a wonderful vista where you see a lot of great brands, and I don't want you to you can't list everybody, and that's not the point. But who does this well? Because there's skills that marketers are using that they didn't have 10 years ago. There's skills that recruiters and talent acquisition leaders are using that they didn't have 10 years ago. So some folks are doing this early adoption stuff. They're getting in there and they're learning and they're sharing and they're doing different things. So highlight for the audience three or four great examples where you can go and they'll go into LinkedIn later today and they'll look at what they've done, people that are really leveraging kind of the breadth and depth that LinkedIn has to offer.
Oh, geez, you're asking me to name names, huh?
Indeed.
Well, gosh, there are a lot of great examples, I think, of companies that are doing this right. If I can give a shout out to my friends over at PepsiCo, Chris Hoyt, I think, is one person that comes to mind. And he actually spoke on the main stage at Talent Connect, which is our big global conference for the talent acquisition industry last year. And he shared some of what PepsiCo is doing. And I think what I think was eye-opening, and hopefully the crowd found it that way too, is that, you know, they've gone down the path of, you know, for instance, they leverage our free company status updates. So basically, we have over 3.5 million company pages now, I think it is, on LinkedIn. And as part of that, folks can follow you. They can follow your organization, and they can follow the updates that you put out on LinkedIn. And we've done separate research to show that 71% of people who follow companies on LinkedIn have some interest in careers at that organization. So, you know, bingo, that's actually a great target audience for talent acquisition leaders. And so the more enterprising companies like PepsiCo, I think, are doing a great job of really seizing that opportunity. And what that means is they've put together an editorial calendar, just as we would in the content marketing world. And I think when Chris shared the story around that, what was interesting was that it can be done, it really doesn't take much time at all. I think what it needs is to have a slight eye for the news, and there are multiple places that you can go to find the types of information that your target audiences might be interested in. And when I say target audiences, with company status updates, you can actually target industries, functions, seniority, you know, you name it. So it's actually fairly sophisticated. So basically what you want to do is you want to build a calendar of information that really mixes it up. So it's perfectly fine to feature a job post, for example, every once in a while, if you're delivering value in other ways with other posts throughout the week. And so I think Chris and team have done a great job of creating a nice editorial calendar there. I've also seen them mix in humor and a little bit of, I guess, what I would call softer professional news, if you will, which, you know, I think is great, because there's a misconception still that LinkedIn is the serious network. And, you know, we're definitely a professional network, and the context is completely professional. And yet it turns out professionals are people, and people like to have a laugh. And so we're seeing a lot of companies drive great engagement through humor. So PepsiCo is one example I would use. On the topic of humor, I guess another example I'd call out at the other end of the scale is Ed Nathanson over at Rapid7. Now, they're a much smaller organization. Last time I talked to Ed, I think they had about 400 folks on the team there. And if you go to rapid7.com, you will instantly get a flavor for this organization. And Ed is very savvy about the fact that in creating an employer brand for a smaller organization, the key is that you cannot be all things to all people. If you try to be all things to all people, you will fail horribly, because your budget is a fraction of the larger companies that you're competing against. And so as a smaller org, I think there's an opportunity to actually step back and think about what makes you different, what makes you unique. In Rapid7's case, it's what makes you kind of quirky and probably a turnoff to some folks, but guess what? The folks that you're turning off are not the right folks for you. And so, you know, Rapid7's gone down this path of creating these hilarious parody videos. Yeah, check out the one on, there's one on Rocky that comes to mind. There's one on Flashdance. I mean, they're insane. They're definitely cheesy. They're definitely quirky. And there'll be some people that will watch those and go, oh, my God, who are these people? But there will be others that will really gravitate towards that. And those are the people that Rapid7 needs to be building relationships with. And so I see Ed and his team leveraging this sort of slightly quirky, off-the-wall humor in their posts, even on LinkedIn, because it helps them just cut to the chase and target and build those relationships with exactly the right type of talent for their organization.
Yeah, it's a filter in, filter out. My favorite feature on the company page is on the right-hand side, I guess the third rail, is the people also viewed. So I love, because, you know, when I go to a company page, like, oh, yeah, and I consume whatever. And then I look on that right-hand side and I look at the other six companies that people also have viewed. What's a feature of LinkedIn that you really like that maybe doesn't get, maybe it's one of these hidden things or whatever, but what's your favorite feature?
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot. So I would say that if I think about, to me, it all comes back to the profile. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, everybody's got a LinkedIn profile, no kidding. And, we've talked about how important it is to have a good photo and that sort of thing. But one thing I don't think that folks are taking enough advantage of today is the ability to upload rich media to your profile. And so, you know, I've got a video in there. I've got a bunch of slide shares. I've got white papers, that sort of thing. I mean, it really is. If you think about your profile as your professional real estate, and you know, over the next 10 years, you might change jobs four times, but your LinkedIn profile URL is always going to be the same. And so, to me, it's really an opportunity to create a much more dynamic professional presence, essentially, and upload any sorts of media to your profile so that as people are browsing, they're a bit more engaged. They've got more to see. They've got more to click on and more to really understand you as a professional, to understand your organization, for example. So I think in my gallery, I've got a slideshow about why LinkedIn is so cool that talks a bit more about our, us as an organization and our culture. Because I'm a hiring manager too, remember. And so it's really important for me to have candidates come to my profile and say, huh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that LinkedIn thought this way about talent.
Great. Well, we are so excited to hear your great work behind Hire on LinkedIn, that content marketing strategies, what's happening behind the scene, because for every LinkedIn user, you know what, we are getting some fantastic content, and I'm sure people are consuming it like any other resources. So let's hear some stories behind the scene, how it is, you know, the calendar and how do you prepare and your contributors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, sorry, Anisha. How do we prepare for?
How do you create this great content on Hire on LinkedIn?
Got it. I see. So at this point, I should give a shout out to my team. So Stephanie Howell, if you're listening, you're awesome. Maria Ignatova, if you're listening, you're equally awesome. And in fact, everybody on my team, I think we're, again, we're in this age of content marketing where as a marketing team, we really need to be on the lookout for great news. And so we leverage, you know, no surprises, we leverage LinkedIn Pulse, which is a great source of information for valuable articles and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think the key in this day and age, as I mentioned, is really to mix it up. So it's fine to include some stuff that is LinkedIn related, but we try not to focus just on LinkedIn all the time. We try and share and celebrate and elevate stories out there of talent acquisition leaders doing really cool stuff. And I think what's at the heart of that is our, this is sort of my soapbox here for a second, if you will. I think talent acquisition is the sub-function or the part of the organization that gets the least amount of appropriate praise. Talent acquisition leaders, in my opinion, are game changers. Right, because the talent that you bring into an organization has everything to do with the success or the failure of that company. And so we are on this not-so-secret mission to champion the industry and make sure that every chance we get to share a great story about what TA leaders are doing, that we do that. So, you know, we're on the lookout for those stories. We're open to, you know, we obviously follow folks that we think are generating those stories. We keep an eye on LinkedIn Pulse, and What's interesting is that with our influencer program at LinkedIn, so we have about 500 worthy, sort of luminaries, I guess, in the world, everyone from President Obama through Bill Gates to Richard Branson, of course, who has, and I think now has 3 million plus followers on LinkedIn, which is just crazy. But what's interesting is these business leaders are often commenting on talent and how they hire and people, you know, sort of the human capital element of their business. And so we, make no pretenses about the fact that we often share, steal and share that information, just as because we think it's really valuable to our audiences to understand the world of talent through the eyes of someone like Richard Branson.
So you're sitting on a ton of posts that go through the system. Are you starting to kind of get a better idea of what works and what doesn't? And what I mean by that is not that everything's formulaic, but, you see something that's posted, and you probably already have at this point, you probably already have a sense of, yeah, that's going to do really well. That'll be somewhere around here in terms of shares, et cetera. And I also want to get your take on the unintended. When something content-wise came out of left field and really you maybe even panned it and thought it wouldn't have any chance of getting the attention it did, and not to name names, but really I'm just trying to think thematically if you're starting to get more of an eye for what's working and what's not.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that the team is spending some time thinking about for sure. And William, just so I understand, is the question about what's working on LinkedIn specifically or as a whole for content marketing?
Oh, yeah.
As a whole?
Within LinkedIn.
Oh, within LinkedIn. Got it. So, as I alluded to earlier, when you have humor in the right dose on a work-related issue, then you will see the sparks fly typically, if it's smart, right? And I'll give you one example from, I think, our mutual friend Tim Sackett, who is one of the early adopters of our new publishing platform. So you may have heard that last week we opened up the floodgates almost, and we've got a program whereby now up to 25,000 members are having the ability to publish their own long-form content on LinkedIn in the same way that our influencers have been doing now for some time. And so we reached out to a few folks in the industry, including you, of course, Mr. Tin Cup, and had them, start trying this platform out. And Tim published a post last week on, I think the title was 11 Rules for Hugging in the Workplace. It is hilarious. And it also had that work connection, and I think he published it late in the week. So as the week goes on, humor tends to go down, I think, even better. And the thing went crazy. When I checked it on Friday, there were something like 150,000 views of this piece, and a phenomenal number of shares as well. I'm just going to look it up while we're talking. But to me, it was it's an example of striking gold where, you're dealing with a professional audience, but humor is actually okay and encouraged in some situations. So I think humor is one thing that we tend to see work really well. Additionally, if you have any proprietary data or insight that is unique to, that only you can provide, and we see this with our own research, for example, when we publish it, the things that tend to get the most play are when we're publishing something that nobody else can share. So for instance, we published some work on the 25 hottest careers on LinkedIn based on activity on the network, the 10 job titles that didn't exist 5 years ago. Again, just based on looking at data and information. And those types of posts for us certainly tend to go well because people really want to understand trends in the workplace. And so I think it's a mix of, at the end of the day, providing value in some shape or form, of course, is what it's all about. But it's really, I think variety is the spice of life. So if all you do is put out super serious thought leadership, for example, you'll get some audience, but I think people really are they're snackers these days. They want shorter content. They want interesting ideas. You can certainly package the, five tips for this or seven things for that, and those posts still get a lot of click. I know they drive people crazy sometimes, but people do generally want to get in and get out and get some value from your content. And so I think between trying to package things neatly so that people can get quick hits, but then also mixing up what you're offering, providing some value, some humor, and really just emerging with a personality almost, I think is what drives success on LinkedIn. And by the way, that Tim Sackett post I mentioned, 267,000 views as of today, and he only published it on Thursday.
Wow. The sharing across other mediums, what's your general take on consumption, you know, via Twitter, via Facebook, via LinkedIn? Like, do you all look at metrics? Do you care about metrics that are, you know, inside your network versus outside of your network?
So we do care about metrics, certainly. I mean, my opinion is, you know, there's a proliferation of channels, right? And I think we face this as marketers. Recruiters certainly face it as well. You're basically being asked to manage more, basically, and in some cases to achieve the same effect. So, you know, we think about different platforms for different things. We actually don't really use Facebook much yet for our business, although I know on our recruiting team we do leverage it for example, recruiting college students and that sort of thing. We do use Twitter quite a bit, and it's a really useful channel, I think, for engaging and for also for us for building relationships with influencers. So I think that, and I've had this conversation with recruiting folks before. If you have a handle that you're managing for the company, it's the same message, right? Don't just make it a tweet of 15 job descriptions a day. If you do, then the most active candidates will tune out. Right. I mean, what you want to do is build a relationship with as many relevant people as you can, bearing in mind that only 25% of the working population is actively seeking a job. So that leaves 75% of the fully employed workforce that isn't looking. And so in order for them to follow and build a relationship with you, they need to see value in the content that you're putting out there. So it really is, again, the story about mixing things up, keeping things fresh. And we do tend to see, we look at engagement metrics on Twitter, just, overall who's favoriting, retweeting, et cetera, et cetera, engaging in dialogue. On LinkedIn, we definitely look at all of those metrics too and just better understand the impact of what we're doing, whether it's through sponsored updates and targeted status updates, whether it's through group posts. We're able to track, for example, event registrations and that sort of thing. So I think you basically have to think about the different platforms. What's the goal of them? Is it engagement? Is it acquisition? Is it to actually get names in a pipeline? And make sure you have the right set of metrics lined up against them. But don't have too many metrics for every platform because you will drive yourself loopy.
All right, absolutely. We got about two and a half minutes left in the show. Is it too early to talk Talent Connect?
It is never too early to talk Talent Connect. Now, I have a question for you, actually, William. Will we see you there this year?
I would hope so. Yes. Yes, you will. I have it on my schedule. Yes.
Fantastic.
And I would,
but then, if it's
absolutely
on your schedule, then you know that we're looking at October 20th to 22nd in San Francisco, and also London, November 12th to the 13th. Before then, actually, we also have Talent Connect Sydney on April 29th to the 30th. So wherever your listeners are tuning in from around the world, hopefully there's something relevant. But yeah, we're already building out the program for San Francisco and London. We're well underway, of course, for Sydney. And I'm really excited to see what practitioners bring to the table right now for those events. And in fact, the request for speaker proposals is open right now. So for anyone who's interested in talking at the world's largest conference dedicated to talent acquisition, if you go to talentconnect.linkedin.com, that's T-A-L-E-N-T, connect, all one word, .linkedin.com, there should be a button there to go and apply. And we're looking for out-of-the-box thinking, best practices, success stories, really helping understand how talent acquisition leaders and employer branding leaders are innovating in the space and driving incredible results.
All right. Some folks are going to definitely want to check in with you, follow you, et cetera. How is it best to keep up with your goings-on?
Sure. So I would to be in the know basically on all the good stuff that's coming out of LinkedIn that pertains to recruitment and HR, I would suggest that you just follow Hire on LinkedIn on Twitter. So HIRE on LinkedIn. And Stephanie and team are doing a great job of just making sure that we create as much value for the industry there as possible. So that's probably worth a follow. We also maintain a talent blog, which is a combination of posts from industry influencers and thought leaders, some unique insights coming out of the LinkedIn data science team. So there's some really interesting stuff coming there, some good old-fashioned recruiting humor, some best practices. For example, I did a great interview with Peter Bugnato from Lockheed Martin recently on how strategic sourcing works at Lockheed Martin. So it's a mixture of industry interviews and so on and so forth, and you'll find that at talent.linkedin.com talentsource.com/blog. So I think those, those two are the main sources, and you'll also be kept in touch with Talent Connect and some other stuff that's going on through those.
Fantastic, wonderful blog. And we started out a little rocky, but we ended really well. Leela, have a wonderful day. I can't wait to meet you in person later on in October. Everyone, thank you for listening to Drive Through HR, and we're going to go out to a little cure. Everyone, have a great day.